to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, March 16, 2020. President Salva Kiir issues a travel ban on his cabinet.
I have ordered self-quarantine of all senior government officials who have just arrived from countries with the established local infection and transmission of COVID-19.
And South Sudanese women want the affirmative action to be implemented.
When we look at the allocation, you find that out of the 35 ministers, we only have 9 ministers, which is way below even the 35% requirement.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir today issued new directives aimed at preventing the spread of the coronavirus in South Sudan. The directives includes a travel ban for ministers. While swearing in his new cabinet in Juba today, Mr. Kiir told the new ministers to stop traveling out of the country as the coronavirus has spread to more African countries, including neighboring Sudan and Kenya. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
Minutes after the president finished the swearing-in ceremony, he told the new cabinet ministers his office will make sure that measures aimed at preventing the spread of the disease are implemented.
I have ordered self-quarantine of all senior government officials who have just arrived from countries with the established local infection and transmission of COVID-19. All planned social gatherings like sporting events, religious events, social, cultural, such as weddings, and political events must be postponed.
Newly appointed Foreign Affairs Minister Beatrice Kamisa Wani, who just returned from an unnamed country affected by the virus, has been in self-isolation since returning to Juba and could not take the oath of office Monday. Mabior Garang, the new Deputy Minister for Interior, also missed the swearing ceremony. The reason for his absence was not explained. President Kiir says any minister who travels to a country with known cases of the coronavirus must observe the World Health Organization's guidelines and stay in isolation for 14 days. Mr. Kiir banned all travel by government officials and ordered restrictions on the issuing of visas to South Sudanese individuals, as well as denying admission into country by individuals from certain countries.
Non-essential travel to affected countries must be called off or postponed to a later date. We have ordered restrictions on movement of people, including decline to issue new visas, revoking visas and residence permits, and denial of admission at ports of entry.
President Kiir said unless ministers avoid travel outside the country, they risk contracting the coronavirus.
This thing is not far from my people because my ministers have been traveling a lot. And this time, it will start with you. So you stop these travels until the situation clears itself.
Kiir called on the general public to maintain personal hygiene, to stop shaking hands, and to keep a personal distance at their places of work, noting the pandemic has reached neighboring Kenya and Sudan.
I wish you all the best of luck, and so that you succeed in your duties as you have made your oath in front of us here. So, as the head of the government, I will work with you together and to see into it that we are doing the right thing.
He also directed security organizations to ensure that public gatherings are suspended. John Gadwich Lul, South Sudan's Deputy Chief Justice, presided over the minister's swearing-in ceremony attended by top officials including First Vice President Riek Machar and the four vice presidents, James Wani Iga, Taban Dengai, Rebecca Nyandeng, and Abdel Baghi. Kiir congratulated the ministers and called on them to carry out their duties as stipulated in the peace deal. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
South Africa has announced strong measures to slow the spread of the coronavirus just a week after the nation saw its first case and then tens of more in a space of 1 week. On Sunday, President Cyril Ramaphosa effectively shut down all borders, schools and large gatherings across the country. In Johannesburg, the nation's economic and transport hub, residents reacted to the news. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The rise of coronavirus cases in South Africa has prompted President Cyril Ramaphosa to announce tough measures to try to slow the virus from spreading. Ramaphosa on Sunday banned travel from high-risk countries, public gatherings of more than 100 people, and closed all schools from Wednesday.
We've decided to take urgent and drastic measures to manage the disease, protect the people of our country, and to reduce the impact of the virus on our society and on our economy. We have now declared a national state of disaster in terms of the Disaster Management Act. This will enable us to have an integrated and coordinated disaster management mechanism that will focus on preventing and reducing the outbreak of this virus.
The travel ban includes anyone arriving from Britain, China, Germany, Iran, Italy, South Korea, Spain, and the United States. South Africa's government this past weekend repatriated 114 of its citizens from Wuhan, the Chinese city where the outbreak started. They will be kept in quarantine for 3 weeks, though none have tested positive for the virus. In South Africa's economic and transportation hub, Johannesburg, the city's minibus taxi ranks are usually a hive of activity. But on Monday morning, the streets were quiet, as people appeared to be taking the president's warnings seriously. 74-year-old lawyer Philip Vallette says he is worried about the toll on his business.
My worry is how long is it going to take? Because from our business point of view, and if we have to shut down parts of our business or drastically interfere with our business's run, I'm just worried about how long we can stand it. And I'm worried about our staff. I'm worried about the taxis. If there are no taxis and there are no buses, we might not have a business.
Project manager Pili Chikale says she may have to cancel as many as 18 upcoming plans, but she agrees with the president's strict measures.
I think it was just the right time because of all this time that we've been taking this disease lightly. It's only now that the president has made us aware of the seriousness and how much it's going to affect us that we're also aware that, oh no, this is really a big deal and we should now start taking care of us all.
But not all South Africans are concerned about coronavirus. Some say they'll continue as usual, like sales consultant Mandla Tlube.
I'm not worried, not a bit. I mean, at work, I'm already, you know, exposed. I said my guys are well-traveled, so I'm exposed. So I can't lose at work.
But Ramaphosa's urging the Rainbow Nation, already struggling with high unemployment and power cuts, to rise to the challenge posed by coronavirus. The respiratory illness has infected a confirmed 170,000 people worldwide since December. But health officials fear the number of unconfirmed cases could be much higher. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The Sudanese government has shut down universities, colleges, and schools and suspended all social gathering for the next 1 month to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Sudan's information minister says the government has set up special centers to test for the virus. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudan's Minister of Health reported the country's first coronavirus case last Thursday after a 52-year-old Sudanese man who had returned from the United Arab Emirates died. Sudanese Health Minister Akram Atom confirmed the death at a press conference in Khartoum on Friday. Sudan's Information Minister and Government Spokesperson Faisal Muhammad Saleh said the Council of Ministers decided to shut down all institutions that are normally crowded with people.
We have instructed to close nursery schools, Sudanese and foreign schools, Quranic schools. All festivals and summer camps should be suspended immediately. All universities, colleges, high institutions, and all public and private institutions of high education should be shut down for the period of 1 month.
Saleh says the Minister of Health has established 3 quarantine centers in River Nile State that can receive suspected cases of coronavirus. The government has also asked public workers to stay home for a minimum of 2 weeks as the government continues to monitor the situation. Sudan's Chief Justice, Naimat Abdullah Muhammad Khair, issued a circular to suspend court hearings as from Monday 16 to March 26. Courts will convene only for urgent matters. The Minister for Youth and Sports, Wala Assam Al-Bushi, has issued a directive suspending civil servants from attending their place of work and sport activities until further notice. Sudan's Minister for Religious Affairs, Nasreddin Mufarrah, asked imams and sheikhs of mosques across the country to shorten activities to minimize the risk of anyone spreading the coronavirus. Speaking in Arabic, Mufarrah says people should avoid large gatherings.
All imams should shorten the prayers by using short verses from the Holy Quran. All imams of Friday's prayers should also shorten their homily without violating its conditions so that we avoid congestion of many people in one place.
Mufarrah offered similar advice for church leaders.
All bishops, priests, servants, and all people of the church should avoid all kinds of gatherings during the service for a long period. They should shorten the prayer as much as possible so as to avoid this epidemic.
Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Omdurman town, Father Joseph Dominic Ujama, a Catholic priest in charge of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish, says only a few people attended Sunday's prayers due to fear over coronavirus. Father Ujama says congregation will not do the normal sign of peace during Mass or greet each other by touching.
We are going to use the system of Indian system, just greeting with the head like this and then bowing down a bit to somebody in the way of, a respected way. You put your hands together like this and then the head a bit like this, sign of greeting, like what the Indians are doing.
Many shopping centers remain open in Khartoum. Sudan's health ministry has urged people to wash their hands with water and soap frequently and to notify authorities if they see any suspected cases of coronavirus. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the funniest thing to ever happen to you?
I was thinking I can cross a gutter. Unfortunately, I found myself in the gutter and everybody was laughing.
The funniest thing to ever happen to me was when I fell down in the marketplace and people were laughing. It became funny to me because I just slipped.
A lot has happened to me, but what I remember, being with my family, discussing, they get to tell me funny stories that make me happy.
The funniest thing that has ever happened to me is moving from the house, picking a vehicle, realizing I don't have money on me. How embarrassing to realize there's nothing on me, just moving out like that.
Try to like ask somebody for money and I tried to like fix something and it didn't work. Well, I was ashamed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
Some members of the South Sudan other political parties are calling on President Salva Kiir to remove Peter Mayen, the newly sworn-in Minister for Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management. The group says Mayen is not their nominee for a cabinet position, but Mayen says other political parties split into two factions and insist his nomination was done by his party. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
OPP spokesperson Albino Akol Ater says a committee formed by the President Kiir to consult with other political parties did not properly consult with OPP leaders. He says the majority of members of the OPP have rejected the appointment of Mayen as Minister of Humanitarian Affairs in the unity government.
The OPP did not agree with the committee on neither the ministerial portfolio allocated to the OPP nor a nominee. So the appointed person was not the one nominated by the OPP leaders. Rather, the person that was nominated by the majority was General George Kongo Arop for the ministerial portfolio.
Akol says The OPP is greatly disappointed in the unilateral decision to appoint Mayen as minister. He says the committee appointed by Kir consulted only one member of the OPP who claims to have been authorized by other members of OPP to negotiate with the committee on behalf of his party. Akol points out that other political parties is composed of six parties, including the African National Congress, the United Sudan African Parties, United Democratic Party, and the National Alliance.
What we want is to go and implement the agreement so that we make sure this agreement brings peace at the end of the day. And if we are left out intentionally, then there is no need for us to continue be part of this agreement.
Isaac Paul, a member of other political parties, says the decision to appoint Mayen minister ignores the stipulation in the peace agreement calling on the participation of all signatories to appoint ministers. Paul is urging President Kir to intervene.
We are also calling the president to see to it that if they want this peace to come, let this formation of the government be inclusive, because now they used to block other group of people. Even the citizen in the country now, they are seeing this government is not actually the government of the peace.
OPP member Pangwar Tinkolong says the agreement must be respected by all parties so reconciliation can be achieved.
And then we must reconcile. How come now reconciliation can happen if government decide to pull in those they like from both the group, not only OPP?
Minister Peter Mayen says the allegation made by some OPP members are not true.
The OPP got divided in basically into two on the issue of the state, whereby a certain group felt they need 10, and certain groups also felt 32. And when we divided into two groups, that also, after the president revoked the country to 10 states, we have submitted two different lists as OPP.
Mayen says the individuals opposed to his appointment do not represent the majority views of the constituents' parties in the OPP coalition, and he will remain as Minister of Humanitarian Affairs. Reporting for VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some Sudanese women say they are disappointed over what they call a failure by their partners in their unity government to allocate 35% of cabinet positions in the new government to women, as stipulated in the revitalized peace deal. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
The revitalized peace agreement requires the parties to allocate 35% of cabinet positions to women. 25% overall were allocated to women. Activist Jacqueline Nasiwa is the founder of the Center for Inclusive Governance, Peace and Justice. She also heads the National Women Lawyers Association in South Sudan. Nasiwa says the number of women in the cabinet sworn in today is far below the required amount.
When we look at the allocation, you find that out of the 35 ministers, we only have 9 ministers, which is way below even the 35% requirement. And then the agreement also provides for 10 deputy ministers. And out of these 10 deputy ministers, we have only one, which is even like 10%. So we are saying that based on the language of the agreement, we are supposed to have 12 female ministers, 10 ministers, full ministers, and at least 3 deputy ministers.
Nasiwa says women rights activists have congratulated the women who have been appointed to government positions, especially to powerful ministries like foreign affairs and that of defense, but the failure of the parties to respect the 35% allocation to women as part of affirmative action undermines efforts to make really political reforms and address challenges women face. Nasiwa says it underscores the belief still held by some that women are not worthy of serving in high positions such as governors and commissioners. She says partners in the unity government should revisit their appointment criteria.
We are calling that out of the 13 positions at the state, which include the 3 administrative areas, at least women's participation must be recognized and the 35% respected. So we are looking that out of the 10 governors, at least 3 has to be women. And then out of the 3 Administrators for the three administrative areas, at least one has to be a woman.
Information Minister Michael Makwe denies the ruling SPLM party led by President Salva Kiir failed to appoint as many women as needed to fill the 35% requirement.
The agreement is contradictory. It is contradictory in the sense that it says 35% shall be women. And when it goes to the details, it says the incumbent Tigono shall bring six. And we brought the six.
Nasiwa says all parties to the peace deal are to blame for failing to appoint women to 35% of the cabinet positions.
It's my plea and call to the president that if any party brings a list of their nominees without meeting the criteria of 35%, it should be returned back. And that is how we can ensure that at least the women's quota is respected.
Agustino Teng Mayai, a policy analyst at the Juba-based Soot Institute, says the failure by the parties to meet the 35% criteria for women in the cabinet clearly demonstrates South Sudan party leaders' limited respect for women's rights.
So many people want to be in the government, and you have fewer women who are players in the system who not advocate as much as you would expect for other women. A combination of both being a problem, and the vice president and the president can relent to making sure that the guys who are pressuring them get the jobs.
Mayai says party leaders still have a chance to demonstrate their willingness to fix the problem by giving women more than 35% in other positions of power.
The direction should be now that for what is already not being addressed, we might want to consider compensating for that. So you have 10 governors that are going to be appointed. Make it 50-50. You have commissions. Give women 60%. You have undersecretaries, give women 40%.
Mayai says that would send the signal that party leaders are cognizant of the problem and are trying to fix the gap appointments to women. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Women's Month this year marked a major anniversary of the World Conference on Women in 1995, also known as the Beijing Conference, where hundreds of women assembled and civil society actors from around the globe to work hard for equality. As Ayen Dengbio reports, some experts are criticizing what they perceive as a shaky or slow progress.
25 years ago, a historic women's conference took place in China. The Beijing event produced an ambitious agenda towards women's equality.
It was an extraordinary moment where women around the world came together to say enough is enough. What do we need to do to shift political processes, to actually shift economic systems in order to build the world that women need?
More than two decades later, experts and observers are still trying to build that world. Beatrice Duncan, a rule of law advisor at UN Women, says achieving gender equality has been an uphill battle.
But really, I cannot think of a sector where we have achieved complete and total equality and sustained it. It's very difficult for me to give such an example. And I think it's sad because the Commission on the Status of Women has been in existence since 1946. We keep negotiating, renegotiating. And one would have thought that as the years go by, we would see an improvement. Unfortunately, as we sit here in 2000, we see rather tremendous rollback and pushback on gender equality.
Gains are uneven across regions and countries, but the world has made some progress toward gender equality since 1995, according to a joint UN Plan International report. The global rates of child marriage has gone down, while literacy rates are steadily climbing. In recent years, female genital mutilation has slightly declined, while opposition against the controversial practice is growing. In the political arena, as of late 2019, one in five ministers is a woman, according to the Inter-Parliamentary Union. And while that number hovers at an all-time high, the executive director of UN Women says it is still not good enough.
Women are squeezed into a quarter of the space. We have 75% of lawmakers and parliamentarians being men. We have 73% of managerial positions held by men. We have 70% of climate negotiators, also men. And when it comes to peacemakers, it's even less, even though we know that when women participate significantly, it also guarantees a peace that lasts longer.
Dr. Jarpa Dawuni, a political science professor at Howard University in Washington, D.C., says the realities of reaching gender equality are even worse for black women.
For us as black women and black people, when it comes to issues of equality, it's always been a contested issue. We've had to fight more to achieve that equality than other groups of people have had to achieve. So even though this is a good intention by the United Nations women to encourage and to bring together global solidarity towards achieving gender equality, as black women, we have to pause and ask ourselves, when we are engaged in this fight for equality, what are going to be the outcomes? Will it be on the same level as other groups of women who have had to fight for the same equality that we are engaging? So for us, we have to be conscious about these battles.
Women's rights activists are hoping that the path to building a gender-equal world turns into tangible action. Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
That's our show for this Monday. We leave you with Salam Ya Sudan by Lomerica Jazz Band. Listening to Lomerica Jazz Band with the song Salam Ya Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. You have a great evening and tune in again tomorrow for South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Shabna Sudani bina hakor min manazira wana libis min manasnae salam 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 ya raisnae salam 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 salam
Salam, salam, salam.